Welcome to the second episode of our special series of Plat Chat videos. This time we're going to go through the London Spitfire. Now, Reinforce, you had a spicy take on a previous Plat Chat where you said that the London Spitfire were going to be a bottom four team. I disagreed with you, and then I looked through all the teams, and then I agreed with you again. So I don't know what to think about London. They're an odd team.
They have Glister.
They do. And that's why I disagreed with you. It's because Glister is genuinely an incredible talent. I think that he could be the best rookie of the year if he was on another team.
I'm going to be honest. Okay, so I went to New York this weekend, so I didn't really have time to prepare and stuff properly. So you said like, oh, Johnny, talk about Lonnie Spitzer. And I was like, I don't know who's on the team. I was like, yeah, Glister.
So to update everybody else, along with Reinforce, here is...
Wait, he's underage. Never mind.
Well, he's underage, but he does turn 18 very shortly. So if we take a look at Glister's page, January 26th. So he's going to be of age for the first time.
2002 is 18. Oh, God, I'm old.
You are so old. All right, so this roster, I had a little bit of hope in because, but the problem with this roster is it is potential incarnate. They have picked up a bunch of people that could be good, but everyone on the roster is just like that. Like, Banar played really well in Fusion University. Yeah. Fuse was all right in Fusion University. Shui has had success on Runaway, although albeit mostly playing Brigitte, but he does play other heroes as well. Hailey actually looked pretty decent when he played for the Seoul Dynasty. J-Mac has done fairly well in the Chinese region, but what the hell does that mean? And Glister has been popping. Like, this guy is sick. I can't believe that Seoul Dynasty let him go, but they did.
Well, you said, right, that you wanted them to pick up another DPS player to pair with Glister.
Yes.
And I think I agree with that. Because I think that they could have some consistency to them. They could be like the Toronto Defiant of last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have a couple of solid players.
Toronto Defiant of last year.
I actually like that. I like that because they had a team that had a lot of good talent. When you looked at it, you're like, this team could be really good.
The Korean one at the beginning.
Yeah, the Korean one at the beginning. And then they showed up and you're like, actually, these guys aren't very good.
Yeah.
Because as you said, all these guys are coming from... Krillin was a bench player forever.
Who knows how good he is?
Yeah, you have all these contenders players who have done well in contenders. Hailey was okay on the Seoul Dynasty. Wasn't impressive. Like, the only person that really stands out that everyone sort of thinks is going to be good is Glister.
And genuinely, I just want to take a moment to say, that guy pops. Like, he's so good. He plays all of the projectile roles in like an incredible way, and then his hitscan aim is also bananas. So that's why I really want them to add another DPS. Not that I think they will before the season, but hello, you live in the future, so they might have. Because Shui, I don't really know his hero pool, because he came to success during the GOATS era.
Look him up.
Well,
show me what you got.
If it only says Brig, I'm so disappointed.
It won't just say...
Oh, Genji Farah.
It says Genji Farah.
Oh, that's a deadly... We've seen many players fall by the sword of Genji Farah only. Yeah.
This kind of reminds me of the Seoul Dynasty issue of when I was looking at it, and I was like, wow, I would want Prophet to play my flex DPS. And then I'm like, I'd also want Prophet to play my hitscan DPS.
Exactly.
So if I can clone Prophet, it'd be the exact same thing. If I could clone Glister, I'd play
two of them. Which is why Glister was playing for the academy team for Seoul. So Glister could have been playing alongside Prophet, and they let him go. They let go of Fletcher and Glister.
That's crazy, because you look at their other two DPS players as well. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked on Seoul, but we'll come back to that.
Seoul, I hate what Seoul have done this offseason. But anyway, I also hate what London have done. And London have just sold their players to Seoul. So you've got a terrible system going
on. Okay, so I will give them some credit, because A, they only have 8 players, right? Which means that they could sort of figure out what they're about and then add more players to the mix. We've seen so many times in the past where teams, they just pick up like 10 players and you're like, okay, well, 3 of them are just irrelevant. Like, send them home.
Well, yeah.
So now
like
they have like, they have something to build from. Not going to be distracted by your takes. They have something to build from, and they have young and talented players that they could, you know, with some potential to them. So maybe they could pick up like Munchkin. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'm just saying there's a good base.
Yeah.
And I mean, come on, dude. Glister and Munchkin.
So much good talent is already gone, though, right? So unless London is willing to fork out a lot of money later in the season, like, I agree that they could, you know, I don't like having this 12-man roster before when you know that 5 of them are completely irrelevant. Like, they have 8, they have roster spots, and they probably have a pretty good like salary that they can work with, as long as they're willing to spend the money on the biggest gaping hole in their team.
Yeah, and the problem is, this roster just says to me, we didn't want to spend money.
Yes.
Because Sanguinar is just somebody that nobody, even the most in-depth fan, has ever heard of. Like, he was playing... on the Gen B team. So Seoul has an academy team called Gen G, and then they have an academy team underneath that called Gen A, and then they have an academy team underneath that called Gen B, as
but
far as I'm aware.
He won the Korea Cup monthly finals, hashtag October.
Hashtag October! Yo, absolutely lit, fam. Yeah, so...
Wow, the also, Korean equivalent of Alienware Cups.
But that you really... Yeah. Really, like, their support line is Sanguinar, a guy that nobody knows whether he's going to be good or not.
I mean, even Hailee, it's like...
Hailee never impressed me. Like,
I think he was competent, though.
He was okay.
Yeah. Would you say he's average?
I would say below? He would be just below average.
Yeah, I think is all right for a London team, though. Because what you want, in my opinion, if you have a bunch of players that could potentially become excellent, is that you want some players that you can just rely on and plug in there. But, and I think Hailee's the kind of player that you can just rely on him to have, like, okay performances all year.
See, but that my problem becomes with that. When you have a below average flex support, if you put them on a team that struggles... Their below average flex support ability goes very low, yeah. Very fast.
Yeah.
So he, because Sol was pretty competent towards the end of the year when he was getting played a lot, and yeah. They seem to have it together. So now put him on this roster, which is a mixed mash of we don't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
So take a look at J-Mac, because I think he will become the most important player on this team.
Yep. And he played for a very good team in China. Like, this team was winning Season 2. They won this Dragon Blade Cup. They were expected to do very well in the Gauntlet, and they were actually expected to do very, very well in the Pacific Showdown, and they totally shit the bed at the Pacific Showdown. They lost to Talon Esports.
Promising. That's not
promising. It was awful. But their domestic results have been relatively good. They are considered the best Chinese team overall, despite their poor performances at the Pacific Showdown and the Gauntlet,
Does that give, like, highlight the issue that comes with, like, popping off in Chinese contenders? Because then they go anywhere in the world. They got 3-0'd by Gladiators, like, Legion.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, a lot of people like to hype up the contender's talent as, like, oh my God, he did really well. But this guy did really well playing in the Chinese region, a region that is, like, very scrappy and all over the place, and some teams dominate and then another team dominates. It's wild. It's not as bad as it used to be. It used to just straight up be a bad region. So, but now it's a little bit better.
The reason I think he's very important is, and I want to ask you, Kasef, if you agree with me, that if you have a great main tank on your team, it's sort of like a trickle-down effect in, like, empowering the rest of your team. Because if a main tank and an off tank, like Bernard, like, let's say J-Mac and Bernard is, like, an average duo, you know, like, number 10 in the league or whatever. Like, let's say they surprise us. I think that the trickle-down effect in terms of, like, space and, like, all of that stuff to players like Krillin or Glister or Hailee, I think that they could benefit a lot from a really good tank line. So I do want to say that if J-Mac starts to pop off and Bernard is a solid off tank, I could see them perform above our expectations.
My argument against that is I would 100% agree with you if we were playing Dive or we were playing Goats again. But here we are in an Orisa, whatever meta it is, where the more important people right now, I think, are, especially in this meta, if we're talking about right now, your Baptiste, your potentially your Zen, and your DPS players, because they're the ones that need to create their own space. Your tanks are just standing in the front line, dropping shields, trying to pull as many, get as much value as they can, but not super effective. So if the meta changes, I agree that'll be a big
deal. Dear God, not only am I a washed up player, I'm a washed up analyst. Terrible.
I think this team, though, has something, in my opinion, that the Boston Uprising and the LA Valiant don't have, which is the potential to actually be good.
Yeah.
Like they're not just going to be clawing. Hey. But it's because you left. Yeah. Don't worry about it. But I think when you look at those rosters, you're like, maybe they could be competent with some in the league.
Yeah.
You look at this, and if everything hits, then they actually could be a fairly decent team.
They could be a top 10 team if everyone really performed. I'm saying if everybody steps up.
Yeah.
Everybody plays to the potential that they have, like Glister ends up being like a top 5 DPS in the league.
And Shui ends up being really good as well.
Shui ends up being really good. And then you have Banar and Fuse. And like you just have that. And like J-Mac ends up being really strong. They can be good. I agree that like they have some like weird situations. But, and if that doesn't come off, they're a bottom 3 team for sure.
Yeah. But what are the chances of them hitting that best case scenario top 10? I think it's super small.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just rely on one person, two people, three people. It's like five people on the roster need to be at their absolute peaks for that to happen. Yeah. And it's just not going
to
happen.
I want to give them some credit. I could totally see London Spitfire like surprise us and be like number 12 or something at the end of the season. Because I think they're one or some two kind of trades away from being like an average team.
Yeah.
And so I want to give them some credit. And who knows if they're going to fulfill that. To wrap up, Josh, if you lived in the UK right now, would you be excited to go to the London homestands?
No, I fucking would not. Absolutely not. And
to see Glister, come on, pop off. You know?
Well, maybe to see Glister, honestly, because I have been a fan of him. But what, you're relying on people being hardcore contenders fans? That doesn't make any sense. I think this was a really bad move, just from a marketing point of view for the London Spitfire as well. Because if you are going to downgrade your roster from a potentially championship roster, which the previous one was, right, they had their opportunities to do well in playoffs and still win. And, you know, they had a lot of talent on there. If you're going to do that and downgrade your roster, you should have gone for something fan favorite.
Just get British Hurricanes at that point.
Just sign Team UK or some shit. Do something fun. Don't, like, who is going to watch these people play?
Especially with the number of European players, like, that are available. You see Paris going away from the European model. If your team's going to suck anyway, as you said, and you're going to lose all your money, you may as well just go full European, get the hype around them, get all that kind of stuff, because there's no hype around this team right now.
And I don't mean this to be like an anti-Korean sentiment, as in like, they won't understand them, they're Koreans. If this was a roster filled with people that just people weren't fans of, but they happened to be American, nobody would also go and watch them from the UK, except that they would be able to speak the language and perhaps a little more outgoing as well. But you got people on here like Krillin and Fuse as well, J-Max, Sanguinar. These are not people that anyone is going to turn up to see. Like, I think you could count the amount of fans of these players on your fingers of your left hand.
Just sign Bumper at that point. Right?
Depends on how many fingers,
That's true. There are a lot of people in the UK who are incredibly incestuous and have like six fingers. Norwich, I'm looking at you.
Well, one more thing. Who are the coaches of the team?
Okay.
Because I think that's important. If we have like a potential, you know,
good point.
Because awesome guy is coming back.
Yes, SNT. But I had a lot of people tell me that the coaching staff will save this team. And I think that this is a really overrated coaching staff, but it could still be fairly good.
Well, it's an average coaching staff, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I agree. But a lot of people rate them incredibly highly because they have Agape, who worked with the London Spitfire when they won. And they also have Pavan, who worked with NYXL for so long. But I'm pretty sure that Pavan got kind of kicked out the door for IMT coming up. And Agape has been working with the London Spitfire for so long and failed to make that team competent.
And they had a good... I think it's the classic case of, let's just hire people that have like played in the... coached in the league. Yeah. That doesn't mean they're good. If they're getting kicked out of teams, it means they're doing something wrong at some point, right? And like, they have awesome guy who might be knowledgeable about the game, but maybe he's not a good coach. I think the coaching staff is another thing that I look at and I'm like, they have experience, but I don't know if they have the knowledge and they actually have the skill to pull this off.
I think that the thing is, with Agape, I think his problem was that he was working with very strong personalities and he's not like a alpha kind of type character, but I think he probably does know the game fairly well, which will benefit him when it comes to this team, because this team should be humble as fuck because they are nobodies. So then Pavan as well, I think, had like some things that he did really well with the NYXL and some things that he failed to execute on, didn't quite fulfill the potential, but also NYXL had incredible regular seasons and he was a very big part of that. I think this is a average to good coaching staff, but I just don't think that it's incredible, like an all-star coaching staff. And that's what some fans see when they see this.
Yeah. Let's grant them a swift death. Last season, 16 wins.
No.
That's an under.
That's an under.
That's an under.
Yeah.
Where do you want to put them, Custer?
I think here is where we'll disagree.
Okay. I want to put them 15.
Custer wants to put them 15. Okay, so...
What the... Why?
Come into the mic and tell me why you want to put them 15th. Because if you want to put them 15th, that means there are five teams lower than them, including Boston.
Yes. Right. Yeah, and I think
Is Valiant one of them?
Yes. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. On the fact that they do have Korean players, they do have a lot of skills and coming up from contenders and that kind of stuff. As we said, they're not going to, all of them aren't going to pop off, but I think some of them will be good. And with Glister behind them, I think they'll at least get 15th. I think they'll easily get more wins than, you know, the Bostons, the Valiants, the Houstons, all that kind of stuff.
You think they'll get better than 17th. Houston? See, I think they're
better than Houston.
I have them in the same kind of tier as Houston, but I think Houston might do a little better.
I want to put Houston 20th as well, but you know, we'll go.
Jesus, we'll get to that,
we'll
get to that later on then.
Yeah.
I wanted to put them 17th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
let's put them 16 for now.
Yeah.
We'll move them 16 for now. Yeah.
That seems fairly reasonable.
That's definitely an under, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's definitely an under. Yeah. Oh, is that what the arrows are indicating?
Yeah.
Whether they're under or over their previous performance. That is very clever.
Look at this design.
That is so clever. Incredible. Okay. Let me put you full cam as well, because I forgot to do that last time as well.
Oh, well, the glare.
Yeah. But I mean, you can't block it, but whatever.
It says London and there's an arrow down.
Yeah.
If that helps.
Okay, so the next team that we've got coming up is going to be the NYXL. So tune into the next video in like a few days' time and you'll be able to see that.
I have to say goodbye 20 times.